Happy Wednesday, everybody. Thank you so much, as always, for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. We are back from Walt Disney World and Give Kids the World. Thank you so very much to each and every one of you for your tremendous generosity on Saturday during the six-hour live show. We got to raise over $26,000 as a podcast family to help the great folks down at Give Kids the World. You guys are amazing. Of course, we've got your listener questions, including questions about swimming during the cold months down at Walt Disney World. How do you do that when it's a little bit chilly? We talk about, we have some dining questions. We have some resort questions. We have transportation. We have when to go, January, February, March. We have a lot of great discussions on today's show. Don't forget today's episode of the show, as always, brought to you by the Magic for Less Travel. Please book your next trip with the professional passionate agents over at themagicforless.com. As you do that online shopping this holiday season, please support the show. It's a free way to do so. Just click through brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. And finally, become a patron of the show. Thank you so much to our patrons. You're carrying the load while travel's down just a bit, and I appreciate that so much. And of course, on Thursday, you get Mike in the Midwest, a little mini podcast for our patrons. Check it out today over at patreon.com/BeOurGuestPodcast.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1812 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman, from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Wednesday to you, and we are back in our podcasting bunkers. You know, we got let out there over the weekend to go down to Walt Disney World. We got to see some lights, not just some. We got to see 3.3 million lights at Give Kids a World Village. I got to go to 3 out of the 4 theme parks this past weekend. It was awesome and got to stay in 2 different resorts. So a lot to talk about, but let's get the ladies introduced so we can kind of recap what happened on Saturday, which was quite amazing and very heartwarming. And then we'll get on to your listener questions. So joining me, she is the woman of the hour. She is the heart and soul of every fundraiser that we do for Give Kids the World. Honestly, she puts it all together. She does a ton of logistical work. And we can't thank her enough for that. We have Ricky, who hangs out over at themouseforless.com. Happy Wednesday, Ricky. What's up?
Happy Wednesday. And I am still floored by the amount of money that we were able to raise for Give Kids the World. So, you know, over $26,000 for Give Kids the World. It's just...
Say it one more. I gotta say it with like a radio DJ voice.
I know, right? Okay, go.
We raised, as a podcast family, over $26,000 on Saturday.
Yes, I'm so excited. So I'm so happy that we're going to be able to help, you know, give the kids who are going to be visiting the village a little bit of happiness. And, you know, hopefully, again, you know, like they were talking about, hopefully they get to visit soon. But I'm, you know, so glad that we're going to be able to help, because I know that they have a lot of kids who want to come visit that haven't been able to because of COVID. So, you know, I'm sure that once they get the okay, they are going to hit the ground running and start, you know, letting everybody back in as soon as they possibly can. So I'm glad that we were able to help, you know, facilitate that in any kind of way possible. So thank you to all of our listeners for, you know, your donations, whether you donated items or whether you donated monetarily for your bidding on auction items, you know, for those of you who, you know, were trying to get the totals up for other people so that we got even more money. I appreciate that too. Of course, I want to thank everybody at Magical Wishes for Kids. You know, they all helped so much. Kim and Aaron were so huge in getting everything done, you know, while we were there. And their daughter, Anna, as well. I want to thank everyone at Give Kids the World who so graciously had us there. You know, Steven and Pamela and everybody else who, you know, were there to help us with that. And then, of course, I want to thank the Magic for Less Travel because, you know, they also were a sponsor of the event as well. So, you know, without them, we couldn't have done this either. So I just want to say thank you. Big thank you to everybody who helped. It's not just me who does this, although I know that I put in a lot of legwork. It's definitely not just me who does it all. So I'm so thankful to everyone.
Yep. And each and every person who took the time to tune in and give us a call and just listen in and get, you know, donate, whether it was $5 or, you know, however much you donated, it was amazing. And we're so glad to have folks here in the live chat as we record. And just an amazing time. It really was. So also joining us, she is definitely in the bunker up in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, the podcasting bunker. We have the co-owner of the Magic for Less Travel, Pam Forrester. Pam, happy Wednesday.
Happy Wednesday. I'm glad to be here. Glad to be on the tail end of a successful, you know, fundraising effort here. It was, you know, I think it was weird because I don't know that anybody knew what to expect in 2020, how it would be. So I think that absolutely to raise that much money during 2020 is a huge accomplishment. Truly, truly, truly. So looking forward to it. And like Mike said, we want to do it again in the spring. Look at doing it maybe a couple times a year because so many people sent in such great auction items too. That part was pretty cool too, to see all the different things, by the way. I mean, really, it's just like amazing. So, and the way that, you know, everyone was willing to bid on this. So it was so good. So good. And it's, you know, it's always nice to be a part of this. So.
Right. I mean, the thing was, I didn't know we were having these Christmas ornaments, like as incentives to donate and stuff. And I mean, all of a sudden, like, okay, we got Magic Kingdom. Now we got Epcot. Now we got Studios. Now we got Animal Kingdom. Now we got Space Mountain. Now we got Beauty and the Beast. This whole, I mean. So, I mean, I apologize. Like, if you're watching, it was like Mike seemed like he was like a conveyor belt or something. I mean, they were just, it was so generous of the village and Disney and whoever donated all this stuff. But I mean, like, I was getting handed, Ricky was getting handed stuff and Ricky's handed to me. And I mean, it's like, it was a nut house. I'll just tell you from behind the scenes on Saturday, it was crazy, but it was awesome.
My mom equated it to like watching QVC. Like, yes! And now we have this tournament set. And now this one, yes.
Yeah, I think the seventh caller got a ShamWow, I think is how it worked.
So, yes, exactly. It was crazy. Wait, there's more.
There was, though. It was just insane. It was just, it was definitely worth, you know, we really enjoyed getting to, you know, go down to the village and see it again. And I'll just tell you what, I know that as of Saturday, when we talked with Steven, and let me just remind you, too, tomorrow we're going to have the first hour of the 6 hours on the feed in lieu of our call-in show that we usually have on Sunday night. So on Thursday, you will get the interview with Pam Landworth that tells you where all the money goes to, some heartwarming stories, how the village has kind of, you know, thrived and done the best they can in 2020. And here's the big dilemma I think that I heard from many, many people. You know, when you go through and see these lights, it is very, and I know that we had the gentleman on that's in charge of these lights. Yeah. And he would, I try to get him to say the words Osborne lights, but I think contractually he probably can't. So I asked him if his lights danced that he worked on. He said they might have. You know, and he had a lot, you know, so whatever. We're not with him right now, so I'm going to say that. But the thing was, it was very, very reminiscent of Osborne lights as you walked around the village and got to see the villas and the themes. Like, you had Chick-fil-A house, you had a Holiday Inn. Now, I've said this, Holiday Inn, they did a great job on their villa, but it would have been easier just to go get one of those 70s road signs with the big arrow and the star, and they're done. Like, boom, that's perfect. But anyway, it was just really cool. And the thing is, I know that you know, you're probably not going to go to Central Florida for this, but I'm telling you, and you can't get in right now. At least the day we were recording was through December 20th. It's sold out. It's that popular. But if you do get a chance, because this runs through January 3rd, it is jaw-dropping. I mean, the money goes to charity, and I mean, this is... I honestly think, like, when I came home, I went to three Disney parks, and the coolest thing I saw were the lights. You know, I mean, even with the projection mapping on the Tower of Terror and the castle, it was just, it reminds, because you have the Christmas music playing, you can buy hot cocoa, you can get the cookies. I mean, you're doing it for a good cause. You know, like, going to the Osborne lights, right? It was heartwarming. But, I mean, you're supporting the mouse. Like, you go to the Give Kids a World, like, you're supporting people that need support. It's, I just want to encourage people, you know, just look into it. If you're going down after the 20th of December, add it to your trip.
It was incredible, you know, just to walk around and especially in like that main square area where the lights were literally all around you. It absolutely did feel like very, very reminiscent of, you know, that other spectacle of you know, some sort of dancing lights or whatever. You know, you could tell, like, it was very, very, very similar to what they had done there. And the scope of it was just phenomenal because the lights really were, they were all around you and all encompassing. And it was simply gorgeous. And, you know, I only wish we had more time to walk around. I mean, we had some great time to walk around, but like, and I, you know, of course they have a time limit for guests as well, but you know, it's still one of those things where it's like, you just to absorb it all is, it takes a while. Cause you're just like, I mean, I think that you can see in the video, cause I think Mike had me on camera a little bit, but like my jaw was like just down to the floor, you know, like it was so incredible. So, Give Kids World did an amazing job. And, you know, I don't know if they'll be able to do it again, but knowing Steven, he'll find a way to do something that's just as cool, you know? So, yeah.
As I normally do, I got sidetracked there, and that was the question. Like, a lot of people said, God, I wish they would do this every year, but we don't want them to do this next year, right? We want the villas to be full. We want the village to be full of families and just... But I mean, God, it's such a cool location at the same time. It's so cool.
I know. It's such a great fundraiser for Give Kids the World as well. So, you know, hopefully they can figure out something that they can do, you know, that still does something very similar to this. But of course, I hope that they don't get the opportunity to do this again. Like, that's the weirdest thing ever.
It's
but
so
like,
crazy. Yeah. Because I'm like, oh, God, babe, I got home last night and I was like, a mile a minute. I'm like, I know I showed video. The video doesn't do it justice. It's so cool. Like, we got to do this next year. Oh, wait, we don't want him to do this next year, but it's so cool. I want to do it. Anyway, so we'll figure it out. That's Steven and Pam and everybody over there. They got to figure that out. They're smart. Okay. First question. Let's get to the questions. Mickey is in our live chat and she's got the coolest Thanksgiving Mickey kind of turkey thing on her icon. Yeah. Now it is out of season, but I'm not going to say anything, you know, but I mean, if that was very cool. She's just asking simply, is Stormalong Bay pool heated? No, I'm swimming no matter what. So I hope that the heater's broken. No. So Pam, talk to her about the pools at Disney in the colder months like December and January.
So the good news is that all of Disney's pools are heated. They're kept to a balmy around the low to mid 80 degrees. That is the good news. The only issue is when you get out, it's a little cold.
Yes.
Would say that. It's a little chilly, but I've been there, done that. I had a daughter who would swim regardless of the weather since she was very, very tiny. We'd get to Florida and for her that meant swimming no matter what. So we did that frequently. The other thing is right this moment, the hot tubs are not available.
Which is a huge bummer for someone who loves hot tubs, but understandable for someone who does not want COVID. Right. So, you know, yes, I get it. Because you've got to be in such tight space with people in a hot tub.
Hot tubs in normal circumstances are awkward.
I agree with you. They're not the best in normal circumstances either.
Twice I've gotten
out of my mind what... hot tub grossness.
They're awesome. I get them because I love them, especially on like a race weekend. I'm just saying.
Yes, I do love them.
But you're just kind of staring at each other with bubbles like all around you. And I will say, not once, twice I've gotten into a hot tub and people are like, are you Mike from the Be Our Guest podcast?
I'm
like,
no!
Yes, it's awesome. That's really awkward at first because the thing is like they know all your stories, but you don't know their stories. You know, it's like I want to know your stories and like we're hanging in a hot tub. You know, it's like, can I get a hot tub? But they're awesome. So yeah, same story, fam. When one of the very first trips we took Paige down, she's like seven. You know, so that's how long ago it was before I did a podcast. You know, I even had a thought of a podcast. Like I remember, like it was between Christmas and New Year's, and we were off from school. And same thing, it was like 40 degrees, but I talked it up because you read the guidebooks, right? We're staying at All Star Music. Look at this pool, Paige. How cool is that going to be? We're going to be in Florida. It's going to be hot. It was like 40 that day. And Pam's like, you are getting in that pool with her because you promised her for the last 2 months you're going to go swimming with her.
Right.
So I'm like, no, man, it's freezing. You kidding me? And I still, of course, this is what Pam says. I'm still trying to catch her. So, yes, I got in that pool and the pool was fine, but it was our room was far from the pool because we had to go to the feature pool, right? And we're like on one of the buildings, it's like 8 miles down the way. We couldn't go to the one that was right by our room because it wasn't cool. You know, that wasn't the coolest. We had to go to the feature one that looked like a piano, I think, or whatever. Dude, talk about that was a sprint. I'm just saying, it was cold. Okay, Alfred's got a question. We appreciate Alfred calling in during the show on Saturday. Let's kind of modify his question slightly. If you could live at any resort on property for a year, you got to stay there for a year. One resort, where would it be and why? Let's don't give a whole show to this, but let's come up with some.
I already have one.
Okay, go ahead. Let me guess. Okay, you got to be honest if I guess it.
Okay, I will be.
Is it a Wilderness Lodge, like on the Wilderness Lodge campus?
No. Okay. That was not the first one that came to my mind.
I thought you might go
Copper Creek. See that.
I thought you might go Copper Creek. Okay, go ahead.
I actually would say at Riviera. I would. Yes. There's something about that resort that I really, truly like. And there are different times in my life when I'm down, especially in one of the villas, one of the largest villas, like if I'm in a 2-bedroom or larger, I think to myself, you know, I could sell it all and just move in here.
That's like, what Scott said when we were at the Riviera. He actually said those exact words. If we downsize slightly, we could live in this villa.
Right. I think, like, I would probably need the 3-bedroom because both Steve and I need an office, so it would probably need to be at least that. But yes, I think I totally could. And I love the Riviera, not only because I like that style, the decor sort of fits, my taste or my personality in some ways, but I also really like the location of it. And I love that it has Skyliner transportation. For me, Skyliner is a game changer. Truly, mm-hmm. truly, truly. It just is. And I've ridden it in the winter months and, you know, in the summer months. Both times it's a game changer for me. Is Pop Century justified in having a higher price tag because it's on the Skyliner?
Yes.
100%. 100%. Is Caribbean Beach justified in it? 100%. So, you'll find me at the Riv.
So, remind me, I got a follow up on that, Pam. So, don't let me forget about this. I got a question from one of my guests and great client. And it was a good conversation that we got to kind of start. Ricky, where would you stay for a year?
Oh, man. I did have thoughts of the Riviera, actually, originally, which is kind of funny. But I do like your suggestion, Mike, of Copper Creek. Not going to lie.
You got a boat to the Magic Kingdom, and it's very homey. Like, it's very comfortable.
Yes. So I think I would be now between Copper Creek or... I mean, if we're going all out, right, we might as well go to the bungalows at the Polynesian, you know, right on the water.
Well,
so just saying, if we're going all out, I mean, that sounds like a pretty, pretty awesome spot to kind of just hang out. So yeah. For a year.
The Riv was awesome. The Riv was awesome. I got to say the one night with Scott and got to hang out there a lot. Because the thing is, here's just for the record, if you're ever going to do a split and you want kind of two different feels, but you want to be like logistically simple. The Caribbean Beach Riviera split was awesome because you're just in a different building because it's the same campus. And it worked out great for me this weekend because I stayed the first night. Scott added me to his reservation. I stayed there Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night. I was at Caribbean Beach. I mean, just hopped in the car, dragged my luggage over because I had all the sound equipment stuff. And it was great. You know, like, okay, I'd, you know, get up in the morning. I'd be like, Scott, where are we having breakfast? You know, I'd just walk over to the Riv or he'd come over to Caribbean Beach. Piece of cake. But anyway, where I'm going to stay, I'm going to go Boardwalk Villas. I don't know, just because I could walk to two parks. Very comfortable.
That's a good choice, too.
Lots of dining. I'm always thinking about food. Lots of dining options. Okay, real quick, follow up. I get this question, and this is because, I was posting pictures of Caribbean Beach a lot. So if you want to check out Caribbean Beach, you're heading there anytime soon, get excited because I got a lot of them on Instagram. So my good friend Chris, who's a big Mizzou fan, lives out in Columbia, he asked me today, excluding the Skyliner. Okay, so take the Skyliner out of the equation. Which resort is better, Coronado or Caribbean Beach? So I said, here's what I said. Coronado is a better hotel. It's got it's brand new. It's got the tower. Yeah. It's a very deluxe feeling. Mm-hmm. It's got better dining. I mean, let's be honest. The pools are the same. But it's got better dining. It's got the tower. So Coronado, excluding the Skyliner, is a better place to stay. But when you put in the Skyliner, it's at least an equal fight. Like, I don't know, like, if it pushes Caribbean Beach over Coronado. I think it's very equal with the Skyliner factored in. Without the Skyliner, Coronado definitely wins. Pam, what would you say to that argument?
Yeah, I see that. even with the Skyliner, I still sometimes lean towards Coronado. And the reason being is that I just think that they have better dining options, in my opinion. And I like the standard room there a little better. I just do. So if you're not worried about transportation options, I still would probably give Coronado, you know, the little bit of edge. But it's hard to not take the Skyliner into consideration. It just really is. And I love the feel of Caribbean Beach. I really, truly do. And I told you, like Banana Cabana, it's still open there. So you can still, you know, go there and grab something. So I like that too. And I like the proximity to Riviera. You have all of those restaurants at your disposal as well. So it's really challenging to pick one over the other at this point. I'm happy if it's either one of those.
It's rough because I like the Caribbean theme better than I like Coronado's theme, just by a little. I love, because at first I was like, I'm never going to love Coronado's theme, the American Southwest, you know, that's, I do like that a lot. It grows on you, I think. Like, it's very cool look. It's beautiful. And I love taking pictures. I don't know why I got all of a sudden into pictures like in the last couple of years, but I love taking pictures and those resorts are great. But yeah, they're at least they're equal with the Skyliner and the Factor. But Ricky, are you with us on this one? What do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. I think Coronado just a little bit takes it without the Skyliner. Now with the Skyliner, I think Caribbean Beach may have it, to be honest. There's something really nice about having that Skyliner.
I mean, I stayed in Epcot. I had to be on the Magical Express at 2:45. I didn't leave Epcot till 2:15. Mm-hmm. And I had to get my stuff from Bell Services, too. Like, I mean, it's just like I jumped on the Skyliner. I'm back in like 7 minutes. I got off at the Riviera and just walked from there because it's about an equal shot, I think, from either. I kind of looked at it a lot this past weekend. I think if you get off at Caribbean Beach, you're going to Old Port Royal. I think you're just as close from the Riviera station. It's not, maybe a minute or two. You
know? Right. And
you get off sooner, so you're walking sooner. So anyway, because I kind of stayed. I had to get an eclair, and that kind of put me really under the gun to not miss my bus. But that eclair was good. It was worth it. I was like, if I get stuck in Orlando for a day because of an eclair, I'm good with that.
Worth it.
Just saying. It's like a Long John, a mini Long John with some stuff in the middle. All right, and remember that first media event, man, I ate like 20 of those that one night. I didn't know what Neclaire was. I had no idea. But they had a bunch of them at a little stand, and I was just tearing them up. They just had to keep bringing them out from the behind because this podcaster doesn't know what's going on, keeps eating all the mini Long Johns. So that was how that was. Okay, Phil. Now, Phil, on his way to the airport to come down and volunteer at Give Kids a World on Saturday night, got turned around, got some bad news. One of the children didn't feel well on the way to the airport, so they had to delay their trip. So he's asking, he says, having to skip this week, boo, what can we expect for crowds if we were scheduled for the first 2 weeks of January? Also, with shorter January hours, is park hopping really a moot point? Or will they modify January hours? Thoughts on that, Ricky? What do you think about January as far as crowds, park hopping, and is it going to be worth it?
I think that the crowds are going to be fine. So I think you're going to be, you know, good there. As far as the park hours are concerned, who knows if they're going to extend them or not. They seem to have been extending them lately. So that it tends to be a good sign. Although, you know, January has typically been a slower month anyway. So I can see them extending them for like an hour or two at a park or, more, but, is park hopping a necessity? I haven't looked at the hours for January. Are they still doing like the 12 to 10 or something like that for Epcot? For Epcot. If they are, then I say yes, consider it, because it would be really great to go to a park in the morning, say like a Disney's Animal Kingdom or Disney's Hollywood Studios that closes a little earlier, and then head to Epcot and end your evening. So I'm going to say yes, because that would be exactly what I would do.
And of course, crowds should be lower, I would imagine, in January because you're losing all the holiday. Like, I was just itching to hear Christmas music. Like, that got me down. I'm sure there's a lot of people like that. I want to see lights. I want to see the projections. Now you got Festival of the Holidays, or Festival of the Arts. You got to get the right festival. It's awesome. Here's the thing. Okay, here's what I learned, too, in practice this past weekend. And this made me so long for like 3 weeks from now. Not that I love Christmas, so I don't want to rush. I love the season. But when park hopping returns, it is going to be immensely easier to be able to hang out with friends that are there at the same time as you. Okay.
True.
So we were there, and of course Scott and I lined ours all up, right? Cause we're like, I was staying with them. Like we were together, you know, and stuff like that. But you know, I find out, you know, Adam and Susie are down there from Alabama. Right. But we don't have any of the same theme park reservations. And then the parents are there. We don't have the same theme park. We didn't, Ricky, you and I didn't have the same theme park reservations.
Yeah, we didn't have the
same ones, no. So we never got the opportunity to like hang out in a park. Like, you know, we had the opportunities. We could do it like at a restaurant or at a hotel, you know, something like that. But it is extremely challenging right now before park hopping to kind of meet up in a park. Now, when January hits, what you can do is all coordinate and be like, okay, you know, we're going to go our separate ways in the morning, get what we got to get done. But then after two, let's all hop over to Epcot and grab dinner. Or grab a drink. Pam, do you agree? I mean, I think that's one of the things you really don't think about. But if you're meeting up with other groups and other friends, it may be there at the same time, kind of an impromptu thing. It's a huge challenge right now to get out and see people.
No, I agree. I personally cannot wait for park hopping to come back. I think that I will use it nearly every day. I will be there. Especially because at the end of the day, the lines to get on attractions are still shorter than they have been in a very, very long time. So even with, like, let's consider a quarter of your day, you still have time to get a lot of things done. You really, truly do. So park hopping, whether you do it, you know, the park that you want to visit in the morning or the evening, whatever it is, think about that because you're going to be able to do it. And I can't wait till it's back. I almost feel like, I'm like, sometimes I'm in a park and I'm like, I want to go to another park to go get, I can't go to another park.
On top of that, like, okay, you know, and the thing is right now, like once you leave your park, like your day is done. Like, I mean, you have to like, okay, I'm either going to go back to my hotel or I'm going to go to Disney Springs. But with park hopping, you're going to have the option to extend your useful time, you know, or, you know, just you have so many more options than you do right now. Because once you leave that park,
you're done.
Well, I mean, you have options, but not as many.
Not as many. Yeah. Agreed.
So it's interesting. Now, I will say you mentioned how much you can get done in a short amount of time. So Epcot opened yesterday, what, at 11 or something? I don't know.
Noon. I think it opens at noon.
Yeah, I got there a little bit after 11, and they let me in the International Gateway. I got Soarin' done. I got Living with the Land. I did Spaceship Earth, had a margarita and guacamole. For lunch. That's a good lunch, right?
That's a perfect lunch.
I saw the Voices of Liberty at the American Gardens Theater, and I had an eclair. And I got, you know, I was out, but I left it too. You know, so, I mean, I got a lot done, like, in 3 hours.
That is a lot, yeah.
Of course, I didn't have anybody dragging me down. I was just me, man. I was like a man on a mission. And I went to Mouse Gear. I didn't buy anything, but I just want to check it out.
Yeah, that's while you're there.
Okay. So that's the answer. Okay, so now we have a lot of questions. So let's do these quick answers because it'll be rapid fire. Can we do that? We really can't. Yeah. But we'll try. Mm-hmm. Okay, here we go. So, dun, dun. Jenny's got a fever, by the way, a Disney fever, it says.
Yes,
that's a good fever to have in 2020. Oh, that's a good one. Let's see. Justin Hooper. Justin, who was just on our Monday podcast, he dressed up like an elf.
Nice.
With his entire family, his daughter, Sweet 16, on Christmas Eve. Got to see the picture, man. It was awesome. That's why I got on the show so fast. I was like, I got to tell this story. Okay. Which resort has your favorite dining? If you had to pick one resort, I'm going to go overall under normal circumstances, Coronado Springs. That's where I'm going. All right, Ricky.
Oh, man.
Because you got Maya Grill. You got
that's you.
Three Bridges, which I haven't been to. You got Pepper Market, whichever it's called. El Mercado del Coronado. I'm old. Go ahead.
You're definitely. Oh, man. Okay. The best favorite dining. Oh, this is definitely tough. Part of me kind of says the Polynesian. Just because you've got Kona and, you know, a lot of people love Ohana. And I like Ohana, too. And you've got Captain Cook's.
Ohana's just too rich for my blood anymore. Like, it's priced me out. It's not a good value for me.
It's definitely not a good value.
I can't eat that much.
I agree with you on that. But, you know, a lot of people do like Ohana. So, but I'm also kind of debating. I know we've been talking about the Riviera a lot, but I am kind of debating it because they have some fantastic food. I mean, I had the best breakfast at Topolino's, which, you know, right now I know that they don't have my steak and I really hope that they bring it back eventually because it was so good. And then at Primo Piatto or whatever, Dude, they have amazing food there.
Okay, Friday, don't give up my story. I'm going to talk about a breakfast sandwich I had yesterday morning at the Riviera. Holy cow. Like the pretender, who are those, the proclaimers, the proclamation people. I would walk 500 miles for this breakfast sandwich, and I would walk 500 more to have this thing again. I'm dreaming of it right now. So you're right. Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, they have, it's really like quality counter service food too. Like it's really, really good. They have truffle fries there.
Oh, yeah, they do. I had the Riv burger, but it was a bacon double cheeseburger with those fries. Holy cow, so good.
I am telling you, I don't even really like French fries that much. I really will only eat like a handful, maybe, if I order fries. Maybe eat 12. I mean, seriously, like that's about all the fries I will eat. Here, I was chowing down on those fries. They were that good. So, yeah, I think one of those too, definitely.
All right, Pimsy, we're going quick. We're not good at going fast.
I know, we're not doing quick.
Dude, I'm so hungry right now.
I think I might say Yacht Club.
Ooh.
I love Ale and Compass, yeah. And I love Yachtsman. Yeah. And you also then, when I say Yacht Club, you get to include Beach Club.
Too, correct.
Because they're the same. So you have Beaches and Cream. You also have... Cape May is there, and you have the two quick service locations for both. And by the way, Beach Club has stepped up their game a little bit since they added more to the Beach Club marketplace. They now have
that didn't take much. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I know, right? They have more than the flatbread. They added baked macaroni and cheese that has like different stuff on it. Like sometimes it has bacon, or sometimes it has pulled pork or whatnot.
Oh my god!
I know. So at least, I mean, they do have something more. It still does smell like burnt toast when you go in there.
That's a bummer. Okay.
Who cares? We're all wearing masks. It just smells like your own breath.
It's strong, though, to get through the mask.
That's true.
Yeah, solid.
So, yeah, I'm going to say Yacht and Beach Club.
Oh, my gosh. This is not helping. I'm so hungry. Okay, no, Tony, my good buddy, Preacher Tony, says we'll be down in January for the
post-morning
breakfast. No, I don't know. Some morning breakfast. Olivia's or Chef Art Smith's homecoming? You guys know how I love Olivia's. I would still go between the two. If value were not the option, I would go Art Smith's homecoming. Especially on a weekend, if you can get the brunch.
For me. I mean, Olivia's had some good stuff, but homecoming for breakfast?
Yeah.
Definitely.
It's stop. Okay, we got... Quit with the food questions. Quit with the food questions.
Biscuits.
Hallelujah. And he's a preacher. I mean... He will be saying hallelujah as soon as he eats it. It makes your brain crazy. Okay, Anthony Wade, would you rather run around Hourglass Lake at Pop or run around the Riviera Caribbean Beach? You know what? I do love running Pop Century, right? It's great. But man, I'm telling you, Pop Century is a great place to run. It's wide open, nice paths. You got Skyliner, you got the beautiful buildings. But I mean, and I'm not saying it because you know I love Pop Century and I stay there a lot. It's a value. When I was running at Caribbean Beach, it's just a little bit better. You got some palm trees. You got a little bridge you get to run under, a little pedestrian bridge. I ran all the way out to Trinidad, where the pirate rooms are, and turned around a parking lot out there. Got to see the Skyliner, because it's right by the Skyliner station. And got to run around the Riviera. Yeah, I definitely like running. I love running at the Riviera Caribbean Beach. So it was nice. And, if you look at my time, funny thing is I'm not fast, but yesterday on Sunday morning, I ran my last one there after the Saturday night. When you're on a high, you have adrenaline, right? And so I was still so excited from the amount of money we got to bring in for Give Kids the World. I ran like a 9:35 like pace for 10 miles in Florida. Like I never do that. I never get under 10 minutes.
It was nice though.
Oh, it was perfect temperature. It was perfect.
Gorgeous.
Running water. It was like 50s.
And there was no humidity.
Oh, I know.
So
it was gorgeous. But I'm just saying, I'm not fast. I was cooking.
I can understand why you ran that fast because you didn't have like the humidity just bearing down on you. So.
And I also figured out what it was. I was going to get that Riviera breakfast sandwich, which I'm going to talk about on Friday.
So
just on the off chance they ran out of the ingredients, I was hustling.
I've got to get the sandwich.
Because I knew Scott was going to. And Scott actually didn't order because he had already had three on his trip. So before that, he turned me onto it. Okay. Right. Jenny, who's got the Disney fever, also has a Disney question. If you could go for a quick trip in either January, February, or March, which would you choose? I say February. That's what I'm doing. What are you doing, Pam?
That's what I was going to say to you. Early February is a good time to go. Avoid President's Day if you can, and check out February.
Right. Okay, so that is the right answer, Ricky. So just back us up.
I'm sorry. I am going to disagree. I'm going to say early March, because you will get the Epcot Flower and Garden Festival.
Don't you get the Festival of the Arts in February?
I do love Festival of the Arts, don't get me wrong. But I feel like the weather is just a smidgen better in March. Not that it's bad in February, but I feel like you just a touch better in March. So I'm going to go
there. You go.
Early March.
Ricky likes crowds. You do get spring training though if you go down in March.
We gave you the right answer before you even had the answer.
Let's hope you get spring training. Let's say we're optimistic. Okay, this one's for Ricky. What was your favorite holiday dish at Epcot's Festival of the Holidays, and why was it the whoopie pie? Because, dude, I had two of those within 24 hours, and we talked about how big they were. I had two wedding cakes in, like, 24 hours, because I got one for lunch as a dessert, and then I'm like, I can't leave this park. Because, again, the park reservation system, I can't go back. I'm like, because Scott paid for my dinner because he had tables, so I'm like, I'm paying you back. Here's what I'm doing. I gave my magic band to Elizabeth. They're going up to the trolley car cafe to get some Starbucks, and she said, oh, they have them there, and they put them in little plastic cases for travel. I'm like, oh, dude, get me one while you're there, while you're using my magic band. So, and here's the story. I was going to bring it home for the girls. Dude, that thing didn't even make it to the next morning. It was so bad. I was just eating it at the hotel room. Anyway, that is the correct answer. Again, Ricky, what was yours?
Okay, well, so that's not Epcot Festival of the Art. Of the
holidays. No, you're right. So, I'm so wrong, but I'm one track mind. Whoopie pies.
That's one track mind. I will get to my whoopie pie story, but I am sorry to tell you, Annabelle, that I did not eat any of the holiday dishes at the Epcot Festival of the Holidays, because instead I went to the Regal Beagle,
right?
And apparently don't know how to order there, or really do know how to order there.
You're vampire hunting.
So, I mean, should I tell the story now, or should I tell it on?
You order too much garlic toast.
Yes. So, okay. In the app, okay, it does not say that your pulled pork comes with a piece of garlic toast. So when they pulled up the options of what side I wanted, I mean, I wasn't going to eat pickles because I don't like pickles. And I know, barbecue pickles go together, but no, that's not what happens. Again, I told y'all I don't like french fries, so I wasn't going to get the french fries.
There's something wrong with you because you don't like pickles with barbecue and you don't like fries. We can't be friends.
And I don't like coleslaw because...
Oh, my gosh, coleslaw. Man, my grandma will whoop you because you put coleslaw right on that pulled pork sandwich, and, man, you are in heaven.
And I do really like garlic bread. So I was like, okay, well, I'm going to get the garlic bread as a side. And then come to find out that I not only got the one piece that went with the actual meal, but then I got two more to go along with my side. So I was all carved out on garlic bread. So that was my, I enjoyed that. But there were a few things at the Epcot Festival of the Holidays that looked really good at various booths. So that's good. As far as the whoopie pie is concerned, Mike, I did go and get a whoopie pie.
So
actually,
good.
I got two whoopie pies and they're in my fridge right now.
Them. And I've heard they don't keep well.
I told you that story.
I heard that from you as we were riding to Good Kids World. I think it was you that told me, yes.
I did tell you that story, but I put it in the fridge this time as my hope that it would keep better like in the fridge than just in my, in my kitchen. So, yes, hopefully the fridge keeps it better. So, yes, I have two. They are going to be eaten here very, very soon.
And I just kind of blew it. Like, I went yesterday to the Festival Holidays, and I got chips, guac, a margarita, and an eclair. Anything you get any other darn time. I didn't get anything like special. Dang, I stink.
I didn't either.
So, Ricky, when you went to the Regal Beagle, did you order the smoked pork platter?
Oh, no. She's going to find it on the app that says with garlic toast.
The one that's...
Yeah, it actually shows a picture coming of the garlic bread or the Texas toast with it, and it says... comes with garlic toast and your choice of side.
Coleslaw is the answer.
So I just can't read.
Wait, it probably said it in the description, but wasn't in the picture, or is it in both?
No, it's in the picture.
Apparently,
it's legit.
So even, yeah, look at that. Even for pre-literacy folks right there, you could have known that you were getting garlic toast.
I got him. I see that. But the picture could have been a side.
Even if you don't speak the language, you'd have figured it out. I mean, there's a picture.
I'm just, okay.
Hieroglyphics would have told you were getting garlic toast.
I now see 100%. In the text that it says serve with garlic toast. So.
Yes, and there's a big honking piece in the picture. Yes. I mean, it's as big as the barbecue.
In the picture, that still could have been a side of garlic toast. I'm just saying.
Oh, you made all three pieces. So. We got to get to the last question of the day, as much fun as this is. Okay, Natalie's got another. When would you like to go? Natalie in the live chat. When would you go to Walt Disney World? Here we go. We got different times. Focus. Okay. We got mid-April or late to early, or sorry, mid-April or late to early May. That's, well, I guess it would be all of May. Late to early May.
Or maybe she means late April, early May.
Oh, maybe. Yeah.
Mid-April or late April to early May.
Yes.
Dude, this is so hard. I don't know. Yeah. Let's just go with mid-April or early May. Let's go with that. That light's throwing me way off. I would go early May for sure. Now, Mallory's going this weekend to the Wisconsin Dells. Don't even give me feedback. This is not my deal. They are having a cheerleading competition because they couldn't have it in Illinois, so they moved it to Wisconsin. They are probably going to get a bid to Summit down at Walt Disney World in early May. It's always the first week of May. So who knows what's going to look like in May, but there's usually cheerleaders there. But they're not bad. They're not in the parks much. But you hear a lot of yay stuff. So I would say May anyway. So Pam, what would you say?
I would absolutely say early May because there's so many schools that are still in session at that time that and they're coming up on the late, you know, it's almost too late to pull them out of school.
Right.
Because you're wrapping up your year.
You're starting
right
to have
there.
Fun. Yeah. It's like, the fun stuff's starting to happen.
Right. Who knows this year what's happening?
Exactly. It'll just be a different Zoom call. Who knows?
It's all fun.
Right.
No, it's not all fun. No. But
well, me and you get to hear the teaching going on all day. Yes. It's fun for us.
Yes. Yes. So and so, I'm muting you right now because you're not taking this serious.
Yes. Are you there? If you don't answer in the next 10 minutes, you are not getting your attendance points.
You're not going to get to clip up.
Yes. Oh, got clipping up. That was right when I got out of it.
Dojo.
Clipping down. Thing. Yeah, that's class dojo. I was like, I'm out. I didn't do that. I'm like, that's a bridge too far for this dude. I'm not dojoing people.
Anyway. But yeah, so early May, I think, is better.
Ricky, is it May? It's May, right? It's going to be May. You're an insect.
It's going to be May. Exactly. I'm just saying. It's going to be May. So, yes.
All right. Well, as much fun as this is, we got to call this a show.
Yes, we're I think that's enough of us.
All right. So, don't forget, you can join us as we record live on Mondays, usually around 5:45 Eastern. So, come on by next Monday. We'll have a good time hanging out with you here in the chat. Today's show, of course, as always, brought to you by the Magic for Less Travel. Still time to get down there, see all the holiday offerings, but time is ticking. I'm telling you, it's not going to be May. It's going to be the end of the year before we know it. But I'm telling you, 2021 is looking pretty rosy. We got to be optimistic on that. There's some awesome deals from January to April, I'm telling you. I modified a room reservation today for somebody that was at Caribbean Beach with a discount over to Yacht Club for like bucks more for the trip. It was unbelievable. Like, so
it is shocking at times.
I couldn't believe
it. It can't be right.
I know. We changed a couple dates and bam, I was like, almost the same price for Yacht Club and a standard garden, actually, it was as it was for me. So I'm just telling you, just price it out. So just drop by the Magic for Less, check out all the great trip planning tools while you're there. Fill out the quote form, mention the show, and we'll take great care of you. I promise you that. So check them out today over at themagicforless.com. As you do that holiday shopping, the music, the tempo is picking up, guys. We are getting close. The elves up on the North Pole are working doubles right now. And if you need to do your part, go to Amazon and use our Amazon affiliate link, brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. Thank you so much. And a huge shout out to our patrons. Thank you for supporting the show. I appreciate that so very much. Mike in the Midwest heading your way this Thursday. If you want to join in, patreon.com/beourguestpodcast. Check us out on the social media, Instagram and Twitter at brguestpod and at brguestmike. Facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast, and of course, YouTube.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. All right, time to get out of here, and we are going to be back tomorrow on Thursday with Hour 1 from the 6-hour live show that was recorded this past Saturday down at Give Kids World. And then Friday, we're talking about some highlights. Just basically, we're just going to tell stories of stuff that happened. this weekend. I can't tell them all. No, I can't. Anyway, you'll have to come back and find out if we can or if we can't, because I really can't, but I might. You don't know. So anyway, join us on Friday for our shows. I love doing this show because I toe the line. Like, there's stuff I can't tell that story. I was getting fired up on the airplane because I got delayed many times. Anyway, we'll be back on Friday. For Pam and Ricky, I'm Mike. Wish you a great Wednesday. Have a good one. We'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at brguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.